Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
You may be aware that Governor DeSantis has required by executive order that the Sheriff's Office offer assistance to ICE and Border Patrol task forces. Following recent law changes, Border Patrol and ICE are now legally allowed to racially profile us. They are allowed to profile for vehicle types, behavior, patterns, etc., apparent race and ethnicity, speaking Spanish or English with an accent, presence in specific locations such as bus stops and work sites, and type of work that an individual does. In Santa Rosa County, Sheriff's Office is helping them do just that.
Grace Resendez McCaffrey, a dear friend who's been on the show several different times, talking to the Santa Rosa County Commission last Thursday about her concerns about the now legal racial profiling. She's right about that. There's a case working its way through the process, but in September, the Supreme Court temporarily lifted a lower court injunction that now allows Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, ICE agents, to make investigative stops in LA based on factors that are related to what people say is racial profiling, apparent race or ethnicity, speaking Spanish or English with an accent, day labor, car wash, construction worker, high percentage illegal immigrant or immigrant jobs, type of location, bus stop, agricultural site, all that kind of stuff. She's right. All the local law enforcement agencies are cooperating with ICE. And so the question is, to what degree is the Santa Rosa or the Escambia or PPD or Gulf Breeze, you know, involved in any of this? Again, now at the moment, legal, what looks like racial profiling in order to find out who might be here illegally.
This week alone, I've spoken to or been made aware of more than 50 Latinos that have been pulled over by deputies while on their way to work, only to allow Border Patrol and ICE agents surround their vehicles, force them out of their vehicles, and submit to pat-down searches and questioning at the mercy of federal government agencies who many lack training and experience, compassion, and decency.
So question for you, 437-1620. Let's take Grace at her word, because I've never known her to, you know, be unreliable. We have people who are driving while brown and getting pulled over and searched and patted down and asked for documents. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that in the United States of America? With people who were born here, Grace was born here, lots of people who have Hispanic ancestry were born here, or they were naturalized, or they are here legally, are being detained, frisked, searched, asked questions, simply on the basis of how they talk, how they look, what they drive, where they work. Are you okay with that? To me, that's not what we do. 437-1620.
Members of our community have been accused of having fake real IDs, detained for immigrants for legal who are in legal immigration processes, and have been subjected to American citizens being subjected to this harassment as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're a citizen and now you've basically got to prove that you're innocent instead of being presumed innocent. You've got to demonstrate your status as opposed to, well, you know, the rest of your life you've always just lived here, just like the rest of you have always just lived here and never felt like the police were going to pull you over and demand that you produce a birth certificate to prove that you're not from Norway illegally, you know, or Japan. Or Nigeria, here illegally. But if you happen to fall into this one category, where there are a lot of people here, both legally and illegally, in that category, now you are subject to that.
My complexion, my pickup truck, and working with my hands are all enough to give federal agents probable cause to question my immigration status, lock me up, and deport me.
Does everybody who looks a certain way or speaks a certain way or hangs out at a certain place or drives a certain kind of car, should all of those people be blanket searched to make sure that they're citizens? Should they all be blanket challenged? Now, I am sure that some people are like, this is great. This is how we solve the problem. Is this the America you want to be in?
We owe a lot to our immigrant community for the quality of life that they provide everyone enjoying the American dream. We are categorized as criminals. We are presumed guilty and required to prove our innocence. I would also like to add that most of us are indigenous people to this land.
And by indigenous, she doesn't mean, you know, Native American. She means we're born here, right? Okay, and then the last thing is, so what does she want? And now, granted, Santa Rosa County Commission is not particularly in a lot of power in this regard. They don't have, you know, oversight over the sheriff's department. They don't have, you know, they control the funding, but they don't get to control how it's used. They basically say yes or no to the funding, and they pointed that out. But she had one thing that she said, this is why I'm speaking to you, partially to raise public awareness and partially because you guys talk to other legislators at the state and the federal level, and you have the ability to maybe ask some questions.
Least that we can do, and I implore you to assist us, is in speaking to our state and federal governments, remembering that we are here representing us as well, to find other ways to use $75 billion rather than building detention centers intended to create misery and fear, complicating an immigration system, even more so to make it next to impossible to follow the rules. That kind of money could be used to create a stronger, more efficient immigration system.
See, $75 billion is not a small amount of money. I mean, that is an enormous amount of money. That's what, 8% of the entire military budget is pushing $900 billion. That's five aircraft carriers, $75 billion over the next 4 years for various forms of enforcement in this regard. And what she's saying is, instead of this effort to stop and frisk everybody in order to find the ones who are here without proper status, illegally, undocumented, beyond status, all the various kinds of categories, we should maybe work on making the immigration system itself function properly. And by the way, this is a difference of protocol or philosophy, if you want to think of it. You know, the Trump administration, their goal is clearly, we are trying to find every last illegal immigrant and get them out of the country, and we'll start from there. And we'll spend any amount of money, and we'll engage in any kind of activity in order to make that happen. And again, with the temporary stay issued by the Supreme Court, you know, it's legal at the moment. The question is not whether it's legal. The question is whether you like it, whether you think this is an appropriate way for the law enforcement agencies of the United States to comport themselves, whether you think it's appropriate for somebody who happens to be Hispanic ancestry, who lives in Santa Rosa or Escambia County, or anywhere else in the country for that matter, to be driving along and to face a, you know, potential stop, going to work, produce your papers, prove that you were born here, or else. 618 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like 9890 Highway 29 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, keep in mind, I mean, it's very convenient to say, well, it's not my problem because I'm white or I'm black or I'm Asian or whatever. Well, okay, it shouldn't be the person who was born here's problem either. What did they do? Well, they look like these other people. Exactly. that makes it okay? You look like them? We need better reasons than that, if you ask me. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Anderson Subaru sharing more than ever during the 2025 Subaru Share the Love event. Buy a new Subaru now through January 2nd, and Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $200 to Subaru's donation with 0.9% financing for 72 on 2025 Outback models, 1.9% financing for
48 on 2025 Forester models and 1.9% financing for 72 on new Crosstrek models. It's never been easier to share the love. So far, we've donated over $200,000 to fight breast cancer in Pensacola. At Anderson Subaru, now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation for new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share for details.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Come out to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
Give you one chance and you're not going to get it.
Oh,
tell me the artist.
I have no clue, but I really like it.
It's Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. Being honest with you.
There you go. Welcome to Christmas time. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We had somebody who had called and wanted to say that the police need to have probable cause before they can pull you over. Well, that's the thing. Under the current law, they don't have to have probable cause. They have to have, what they would describe as probable cause is if you drive a certain way, look a certain way, speak a certain way, right? Those are the things that they think as a cluster indicate that you have a likelihood of being here illegally. Well, they don't. I mean, there's nothing about driving a beater, working in agriculture, speaking with a Spanish accent, and looking brown, that means you're likely to be an illegal immigrant. I mean, you are more likely to be an illegal immigrant than somebody who drives my car and works at my job and looks like me and speaks like me, like I do. But that is not enough to be probable cause.
I think it would be.
That's
especially for you.
That's
I'd definitely
point.
Pull you over at that point.
That's the point. Let's see. Somebody says driving while brown is no reason to stop a vehicle. Somebody else says Central and South Americans are some of the hardest working people I've worked with. If they're clearly here to work, leave them alone. Somebody else says $75 billion, but compared to the cost of illegal immigration on the welfare system or the social safety net or the school system or in law enforcement. No, I agree. We have a problem. There's no doubt we have a problem. And somebody's going to say, well, Andrew, how do you solve that problem? Well, I don't think that stopping people because they're brown is a solution. That to me is a pretty bright line. No, you don't get to racially profile people. We kind of have a history with that in this country. And the America that I believe in doesn't do that. But we are legally doing it right now. I think that's a problem. 437-1620, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Ceasefire talks between Ukraine and Russia are continuing today in Berlin. There's a big shift coming from Kyiv. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine would consider dropping its bid to join NATO in exchange for firm international security guarantees. He called that move a compromise aimed at ending the war. The company behind the Roomba robot vacuum is filing for bankruptcy. Massachusetts-based iRobot announced they will be acquired by its primary manufacturer, Shenzhen Paseo. This comes after years of financial struggles and increased competition in the robot vacuum market. And In sports, a big turn for the Kansas City Chiefs. For the first time since 2014, they have missed the playoffs, and star quarterback Patrick Mahomes is now sidelined with a torn ACL. He was injured Sunday in their loss to the Chargers.
And they were not playing all that well this year anyway. I like to watch teams that have good scoring offenses generally is what I like to watch. Teams are fun to watch. Quarterbacks who throw well, scramble well, that kind of stuff. And I've historically liked watching Patrick Mahomes, and I had recorded a couple of those games this year and thought, it's not as good as it once was. Meanwhile, the Eagles, who I would have never thought I would like watching the Eagles, but they're fun to watch. I mean, they are. Jalen Hurts is fun to watch. Saquon Barkley is fun to watch. I don't want to admit that I like any team that came out of, Philadelphia, but hey.
I was waiting.
But they're a fun team to watch. I mean, that's what I like in the NFL. 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Russell Landscape Group. They deliver premier landscape construction and maintenance across the Gulf Coast, combining local expertise, reliable service, and lasting quality to elevate every community they serve. Give them a call, 770-446-3552. Let's see here. We're still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down on I-10, I-110, 2998. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody says you need to check with Sheriff Simmons about all this. Oh, I will tomorrow. Of course, today we have Bob Johnson on at 8:15. So we'll talk at 8:10. We'll talk to them about that then. Somebody else says, I think a good way to take race out of the immigration equation is to make all the perks of living in the U.S. very difficult to receive without some kind of demonstration of legal status. So, renting, home ownership, buying a vehicle, taking out a loan, job, obviously, these are things. And I don't mind that. I think we have a problem and, some kind of application process. I'm always, we've historically had, and by the way, the whole issue of the attractions, the things that are benefits, if you can get here, you get all kinds of benefits. That's a problem too. I mean, the fact that we do so much for people makes it so that many of them want to come here and take advantage of those good things. And that's a problem. If we did less of that, there'd be less draw or less demand. That's a factor in this equation, too. And, of course, those things are very expensive, and they are often counterproductive. And so there's a long conversation about, the social safety net or social benefits and who they're for and how much we should fund them and all that. But there's also this issue of we've long lived in a country where the government stays out of your business. And the idea has always been in this country that the government should stay out of your business. And you shouldn't need permission to, say, buy a gun. You shouldn't need permission to buy a house. You shouldn't need permission to buy a car. You should be able to do things with your cash. Of course, now there's all kinds of rules about using cash. It used to be, $10,000 if you made a cash transaction? They had to report that post 9/11. And then I think the number is now down to like 600 or 800. It's a very low threshold now. Why? Because terrorists, criminals use cash and normal civilians aren't supposed to really use cash that often, and so that's why they track that stuff. Well, that's an annoying thing to think about your government monitoring your purchases just because you happen to pay for them in, money, legal tender. But all of that, the idea that you have to get permission from the government to get a job or permission from the government to buy a gun, these are all trade-offs over time that we've made, perhaps good, perhaps bad. But, think about, running a background check on buying a gun. Well, that's not in the Second Amendment. But we maybe accept that as a trade-off against the danger of having somebody with a felony conviction going into, the sporting goods store and buying a gun. We don't love that to have that happen. Some things have always been privileges you had to qualify for, like driving. But ordinary activities of life, would you make it so that you have to show proof of citizenship when you buy groceries? These are the kinds of, or when you get, medical attention at the ER, those are the kinds of questions you start to ask. How much do you want the government in the business of gatekeeping the things that you would otherwise think in an open society, everybody's basically available to take advantage of? 437-1620. If you are thinking about working on a home improvement project of any kind, you need to buy supplies, safety equipment, you need to get advice. Pensacola Hardware, they have been doing this for a long time, since 1851, 174 years, coming up on 175 years. They're going to have been doing this for almost two centuries. It's crazy to think about. But they are there not just as your source of stuff, but your source of advice. Like, they can guide you and teach you and help you and answer your questions and make sure you're going to do it right. And that's true if you're just an individual, you know, homeowner, or if you are a building professional. Man, they are your place if you're a building pro. Plus, and I say this because it's 10 days to Christmas, they are a great place to go Christmas shopping. They have a front of house kind of area that's all housewares. It's knives and grills and Yeti merchandise and, you know, cast iron skillets and all, just all kinds of stuff that you can buy for wonderful Christmas gifts this year. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody says, great point about keeping the government out of our lives. Thank you. Somebody else says, I would really hope the agency tasked with this would know beforehand who they should be arresting for deportation. And that's the thing. You know, historically in law enforcement, you have to build a case and gather evidence and, you know, get a description of the perpetrator. And then people who might look like the perpetrator, you might stop them to make sure they're not the perpetrator. But, you know, Brown driving an old truck, that does not constitute the sort of dispositive identification that we normally associate with probable cause.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Hollywood director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle found stabbed to death in their California home. LAPD Deputy Chief Alan Hamilton.
The Los Angeles Police Department is now conducting an investigation at this residence here on Chadbourne, and that investigation will continue over the coming days.
Multiple reports say the couple's son, Nick, is a person of interest. Reiner directed films like Stand By Me, When Harry Met Sally, and The Princess Bride. He was 78 years old. And police are searching for the gunman responsible for killing two people at Brown University after investigators say they released a person of interest saying they didn't have enough evidence against him.
The AG said while there was some evidence that justified detaining this person of interest, recent evidence and lab testing is pointing them in a different direction.
And that is Fox's Brian Yenis reporting. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a cold start to the day across the area, sitting at 28 degrees right now under clear skies. And meteorologist Brooke Richardson has our full forecast. That'll be up in just a few minutes. Escambia County Commissioners will get a closer look soon at major expansion plans for the Pensacola Bay Center. The board scheduled to hear a presentation in January from ASM Global, the company that manages the nearly 40-year-old venue. Studies outline several potential options that range from $22 million for basic upgrades all the way up to more than $100 million for a full overhaul. That could include a new event center, even a second ice rink. The studies also examine parking, user needs, and how much revenue upgrades could generate. Commissioners say the timing is critical since a lot of that funding would come from tourism tax dollars, and lawmakers in Tallahassee could limit how those funds are used in the future. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office is investigating an overnight shooting in Fort Walton Beach. Deputies were called to a home on Dates Avenue early this morning after reports of gunfire inside. They say they found a man and a woman suffering from gunshot wounds. Both of them are expected to survive. Investigators say multiple shots were fired through a bedroom window. So far, no suspects have been identified. Anybody with information on that is asked to contact the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office. A legal battle over Florida's controversial social media law is moving fast. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals has agreed to speed up arguments in a case challenging House Bill 3. The law restricts children's access to certain social media platforms and blocks kids under 14 from opening accounts without parental consent. The tech industry groups have asked for the accelerated timeline. Oral arguments are now scheduled for the week of February 23rd. A lower court blocked the law in June, citing likely First Amendment violations, but an appeals panel has allowed the law to be enforced while the case continues. A 40-year-old Escambia County man is facing drug trafficking and weapons charges. Deputies arrested Willie Craig on December 9th after searching his home on Mobile Highway. Authorities say they found more than a quarter pound of cocaine, marijuana, firearms, cash, and a bulletproof vest. The sheriff's office said the drug house has been shut down. Craig remains in jail on nearly $200,000 bond. New numbers show a post-holiday bump in unemployment claims across the state. The Florida Department of Labor reports that nearly 5,900 first-time jobs claims were filed last week, up about 3,700 from the week before Thanksgiving. Nationally, claims also went up, climbing to 236,000 after the holiday slowdown. Well, it's 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's send it over to Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson for a look at that cold forecast this morning.
It is going to be very cold through the morning and through your afternoon, starting off with temperatures in the 20s, slowly warming up in the afternoon, highs to staying in the upper 40s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, getting cold again, back into the 30s, around 33 degrees for your low tonight. Heading into your Tuesday, sunny skies, highs warming up near 58 degrees, and by Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and we've got 28 degrees, clear skies right now, 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Just one accident on the big board right now. Old Coryfield Road and Lillian Highway. It is off to the side of the road, and I'm not seeing any delays associated with it, but I just wanted you to be aware. Let's see here. I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. 6:35. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or bird seed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19, but if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Too much on your list this season? Get 50% off your first 6 months of payroll at gusto.com/radio. Gusto saves you 2 days every month on payroll, taxes, and compliance, so you can go from making payroll to making gingerbread houses, checking your books to decking the halls, spreadsheets to snow angels. Switch before the end of the year and there's no need to transfer payroll history. Now that's a reason to be merry. Choose a future with Gusto and get more time for what matters. For a limited time, get 50% off your first 6 months at gusto.com/radio.
Hi, this is Howard Seaton, marketing consultant with ADX Communications, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And remember, Santa, it's easier to come through a front door than down a chimney.
Hi, this is Kevin King, operations manager here at Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5. I hope you have a warm and safe Christmas time. Thank you for your support of our radio stations in 2025, and I hope you have a great 2026.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you.
Decorate. So, have you seen the most recent article, the expose, massive reporting effort by the Miami Herald and the Tampa Bay Times about other money that the DeSantis administration has funneled into political action advertising? You know the $10 million. You know the $10 million.
There's more?
Well, okay, yeah.
my goodness.
So you got the Hope Florida Foundation scandal with the Centene money, the 57 that went back to ACA, of which 38 really went to the federal government, and they kept 19. And then $10 million went sideways to these political action committees that were overseen by James Uthmeyer to advocate against Amendments 3 and 4. We know that story, okay? So as a result of that, the investigative reporters at the Tampa Bay Times and the Miami Herald thought, well, I mean, you know, do it once, maybe did it more than once. Let's look and see if we can figure out whether there's any other money that was used to do political action, you know, advertising, not related to, for example, providing healthcare services or education, but instead related to fighting marijuana legalization or something like that. So Governor Ron DeSantis' administration diverted. You want to take a stab at this, John? How much money, they say, based on their investigation? $10 million for the Hope Florida Foundation. So what do you think?
I'm still going to go with $10
million. $35
million. Do what?
$35 million. That's actually...
So the $10 million was chump change.
I have it at 36, personally, if you add up all the numbers. As part of what they call a brazen agenda last year to defeat two ballot amendments he staunchly opposed, Tampa Bay Times, Miami Herald investigation has found. So when you start going through it, five state agencies that report to DeSantis have not responded to the Times Herald's findings or requests for information on this story. Many of them have slow-walked public records. And so what they've been doing is they've been literally going through the digital database with all of the money payments and tracing and comparing 29-digit account codes and 6-digit object codes across three state databases in order to figure out where money's going, in order to identify the various sources of... And it's not clear exactly whether it's illegal or maybe just not for the intended purposes or somewhere in between. But for example, DCF, Department of Child and Families, has struggled for decades to protect kids effectively. $1.1 million were used for ads unrelated to their core mission, came from federal grants that went to organizations to help kids in foster care. And instead were spending ads dealing with, and the anti-abortion issue. The DeSantis administration took $4 million from the opioid settlement money that it directed towards campaigning against legalizing marijuana, which is not an opioid. It's not even related. You remember the ads that were talking about how, you know, states that have legalized marijuana have more healthcare problems? Remember that? Well, is that a healthcare ad or is that a political ad? Given that we were working on an amendment, it's a political ad. And the state is, employees of the state are not allowed to do political advertising. Right? Like, that's a problem. The Department of Health, $970,000 from community public health promotion programs to those campaigns. So the investigation says that $36 million in taxpayer dollars were spent on last year's campaign. Of that, 79% came from funds reserved for healthcare specifically. So, you know, somewhere in the, what would that be, 28-ish million dollars, money that was supposed to go to healthcare funding, winds up going for ads to deal with the amendments. Department of Health, $2 million from grants and donations trust fund to the campaign. Florida Department of Transportation, $4 million to produce ads through the Jacksonville-based engineering firm RSNH for, again, related to the propositions, is my understanding of this. Six different occasions, state healthcare agencies cited the same legal exemption from competitive bidding. So they paid too much for them. So the ads were providing healthcare services, examination, diagnosis, treatment, prevention, medical consultation, administration, but they weren't. So this is really a problem. Also, by the way, the ads were designed to get at likely voters. Why would you need healthcare ads aimed at likely voters? That's mistargeting of the ads at the very least. So, yeah, there's more to this story than you would have thought originally. Buried deep, and this is a Russian novel. It's, gosh, in regular printout pages stuff, it's like 7 pages. So this is a massively long story by the Miami Herald. And they've been working on this since the summer. You know, this has been since, like, July they've been working on this. Florida law makes it a misdemeanor for an employer or officer of the state to use their official position to interfere with an election or influence someone's vote. The penalty is up to a year in jail. In a lawsuit last year, Leon County judge wrote that state agencies have budgetary authority to spend funds on public service commercials. To carry out the campaign, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, ACA, and Departments of Education, Department of Health, Department of Children and Families, all turn to the same company, Strategic Digital Services, Invoices and state payment data show the four agencies all reached agreements with the company within 3 days of each other. Oh, it's just an amazing coincidence that all of these entities within the DeSantis administration all managed to come to a deal with the same single company to do sole source procurement, to do ads that happen to be political with all of this. It's so weird. How did that all happen? Collectively, they paid the firm at least $16 million, according to the analysis. The Department of Education, $3 million. and the other, like the remainder, they acknowledged $300,000, but then the other $2.9 million they discovered by doing all these code comparisons. The Department of Health, $6 million, hasn't turned over any records except the basic contract. I'm curious to see what happens next, if anything. Did they influence people's votes? Was that illegal? Was it just mismanagement of funds, misfeasance? I mean, you know, you're the voter. Do you care? Do you care that money that was meant for kids and families and health care and whatnot was an education was repurposed for political purposes by the DeSantis administration? According to the analysis that took them months and months and months to do and that the administration has not now responded to. I mean, it'll probably just be, you know, these loony left, wackos who are out to get him. That's all it is. You know, that's a kind of that trite throwaway. Only works for so long. You know, I am by no stretch a member of the the left-wing agenda. Ask leftists if they think I'm on their side. I think this is a problem. How big of a problem? Well, I'm just reporting the story for now. 6:45 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for you. John?
That's right. The traffic light at Highway 29 and Tate Road is flashing yellow. So just be aware of that. Also, let's see here. No accidents to report to you. And I-10, I-110 look good. Just seeing some minor slowdowns on Highway 29 as you approach 9 Mile Road southbound and northbound. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
And by the way, for anybody who's new to the show, John, was I an enthusiastic DeSantis supporter?
You were.
Massive. I voted for him for president. Massive. I love what he did in COVID. I mean, he made... Good Lord, just for the rest of my life, I'll be grateful for DeSantis is what he did during COVID. But man, it's come off the rails lately. Across the board, it's come off the rails. It's weirdly bad how terrible it's become compared to what it has. And it does not mean I disagree with him on everything. I think a lot of the things he's doing in education are extremely good, mixed with some really concerning stuff, especially locally with UWF and PSC. But yeah, it's a lot, and I hope people are paying attention. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are very good at this. In the height of the market, when it was really easy, they were selling over 200 homes a year. Then it went, you know, the market got harder. Okay, the market got cold, and, you know, interest rates went up, and people weren't buying as many homes because they didn't want to trade in their old interest rates, and, you know, prices went up and all the things. Okay, concerned about the economy. And so they were selling 175 and then 165 homes the last couple of years. Well, this year, they've already passed 180 on their way to being close to 200. Christina was telling me they got about 16 left in the year that they're trying to figure out. This is 2 weeks ago or so. And so, you know, they're going to be right around 200, which is 30% up in a down market, which is amazing. Why? Because they do all the right things. They do all the little things. All the little things that other people may or may not know to do, but they don't necessarily do. They just do. And so they get you all the way through to closing, and that's the key. Deals don't fall through. In fact, she was telling me that, you know, people come to her frequently after having tried 2 or 3 or 5 or in one case, 7 other realtors, and she sells their homes. Why? Because they know what they're doing. It's very simple. 786-3996. Ask her. Ask her. Andrew always raves about you. What makes you different? Ask her. She'll tell you. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
This is Sherry with Jonathan's Flooring, wishing a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Megan with the Boot Store in Locksley and Pensacola, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Eldon Scott with Sonny's Barbecue, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Corey with WEAR, wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
This is Bruno with Hill Kelly Dodge, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I jumped in the river to save you so I could get my wings. Somebody just made it.
Made what?
Every time you hear a bell rings, it means that some angel's just got his wings.
Yesterday, maybe it was Saturday, what her favorite Christmas music is, and she said this. She loves Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's her favorite thing. I always think of Trans-Siberian Orchestra as the Christmas lights house music.
Oh, well, that is true.
But also just great music.
Just great music, yeah.
So I can't not see Christmas lights on houses synced up to the beat of the, you know, of the song whenever I hear that kind of music. 6:51 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The person of interest detained in the Brown University mass shooting investigation has now been released. Rhode Island's governor, attorney general, and the mayor of Providence held a news conference Sunday saying lab results cleared that individual. Authorities say the search for the actual suspect is still ongoing. Legendary director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle are dead. Los Angeles police say the couple were found inside their home in Brentwood. Multiple reports indicate they were stabbed. Investigators say it's still early in the case. Not a lot of details have been released as detectives are still piecing together what happened. And Andrew, Washington, D.C. is now officially in the record books for smooching. More than 1,400 couples gathered under a massive mistletoe over the weekend, kissing for 5 seconds and setting a new Guinness World Record, shattering the previous set in 2019.
1,400 does not seem like that many people.
It doesn't.
I mean,
you could, all at once, though.
You could pull that off at, like, one Ice Flyers game. You know, if you just hung some mistletoe and said, all right, everybody kiss for 5 seconds and let's set a world record. It doesn't seem like that big of an organizational hurdle to accomplish to me.
Well, that's true when you say it that way.
All right, David.
Let's lead the push. Make it happen.
I know, right? 437-1620. 437-1620. Oh, okay. This is a small thing, but it matters to me, so I'm going to mention it. For you, I don't know. I mean, it should matter to you, too, I suppose. You know, for years and years, we've been talking about things like the A-10 Warthog, this amazing. It's basically they built a cannon and they built a plane to carry the cannon. It's what it is. It's a tank-killing cannon with wings. And it's one of the most durable airplanes. I mean, it can fly with missing a wing, missing an engine, missing like half the plane can get shot off. It could still fly. It's an amazing platform. But it's old, and they've been trying to retire it for years and years and years. Well, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, the newest one that just has come out and been ratified, both chambers are now restricting the reductions of the A-10. It's like it keeps being the bubble boy of military hardware, but it's so valuable. It never makes any sense to me. This law sets a minimum of 93 primary mission aircraft through October of next year and prohibits the Air Force from cutting the total fleet below 103. So that's good. Also, the F-15E, the Strike Eagle, if you've seen the movie Iron Eagle, or you think of, you know, what the National Guard often flies, the Air Force often flies, the Eagle. If you don't know military planes, it probably looks the closest to the Tomcat. Two wings upright, you know, square intakes. Anyway, it can also be mistaken for the Hornet if you don't know them that well. But anyway, it's a big, nasty, amazing plane. No retirements are allowed through 2026. Up to 21 might be removed in 2027 and up to 30 in 2028. They're still working to preserve the capacity of the EX variant of the F-15, but and the next generation air dominance fighter, and whether it'll be just a build on to the F-15 or not, we'll see. Anyway, others as well. So my read on this, I might ask Jimmy Petronis if we have time coming up next hour, but my read on this is Congress and the Secretary of War are looking at China and Russia and other threats and thinking maybe now is not the time for us to be retiring things. I know they're old, but they work pretty good. they work really good for a long time. So maybe, and other elements of this, KC-10s, some drone type stuff is in this as well. So anyway, just I thought it was an interesting note that some of that stuff is being preserved in a way that maybe it had not been scheduled to be preserved until, just basically the NDAA passed. 437-1620 at the county commission meeting last week, Wes Moreno gave an update on the fire station construction, which I thought it was five. I think he only mentions four here, but there are five either to be renovated and or completely built from scratch.
Madam Chair asked me to give a brief update about fire stations. We're wide open. We're awarding a design build contract tonight for Pleasant Grove. Our Paradise Beach, Commissioner Stroberger, will be ready to bid for construction in April. And we're moving forward with the designs on Myrtle Grove and getting ready to do Kingsville as well. So we're wide open on that initiative as well.
Yeah, five either new or renovated firehouses in Escambia County. I thought it was five. He only said four. Maybe I miscounted. Because I know Lumen Maid tried to add in, we need one in Brownsville. No, we don't. we need one in Brownsville. So, anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10 has some minor delays eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 exit in that construction zone. Let's see here. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I do want to give credit because, the county commission meetings are not always that funny. But sometimes there's moments. David Haru, we were talking to Wes Moreno. He is since 2016, he's been working in the, what do they call it? It's the public relations shop, but they have a name for it. CMR, County Media Relations or something like that. But David Haru is retiring, and he'd been there for a long time as the director of that department. And, they typically, when people have been retiring after a while or a director retires, they give them a chance to say something. And this is going to be such inside baseball, but for those of you who know this, it'll make you laugh. This was his comment at his introduction.
Congratulations, David.
Thank you very much.
Well, as Chris Kerr would say, I'll keep this brief.
No, I know you don't know.
No.
Chris Kerr is the Flood Defenders guy who 100% of the only person who talks more at these meetings is Larry Downs Jr. So I'll keep this brief. It's never, ever true when Chris Kerb is speaking. It's so funny. I thought it was funny. Made me laugh. I don't know. Now I feel guilty for sharing it. 437-1620. It made me laugh a lot. All right. What else do we have going on? Oh, Nancy Pelosi. USA Today sits down with Nancy Pelosi and asks her a question.
Why? Do you think a woman will be elected president in your lifetime?
What do you think is her answer going to be?
Yes.
I certainly hope so. How I think about it is I always thought that a woman would be president of the United States long before a woman would be speaker of the House. This place is just so, it's not a glass ceiling, it's a marble ceiling.
So really, I've already accomplished a greater thing than a female president would because it was harder to become speaker than it would. Is that really what she said?
So I thought, certainly, the American people are far ahead of the Congress in terms of their acceptance or their enthusiasm for a woman to be president of the United States. But I think people are getting more ready for it. I think it's probably, maybe not my lifetime, but within this next generation, there'll be a woman.
I still think it's hilarious that her first answer was, well, actually, I thought it'd be harder to become my job. Well, my job I used to have, right?
She sounded like she was in the bathroom.
I know.
Or something.
It's a weird audio. It was a USA Today interview. Uh-huh. And so, USA Today isn't exactly known for its broadcasting skills.
Quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, 437-1620. Oh, by the way, just as a side note, this is a note that's not going to mean anything. It's not going to go anywhere. You're not going to have to deal with this. But It is kind of worth noting that a Democrat lawmaker in Congress has actually filed a bill to term limit Supreme Court justices to 18 years. And remember, this is the proposal that even I actually support this proposal that, you know, every president should get two. Every odd year, we should nominate a new Supreme Court justice. They should be up there for 18 years and then they should be done and move into either an emeritus role or supervisory role or something else. Of course, the Constitution says that you get it, you know, during your lifetime, unless you get impeached. And so this would radically disrupt the current structure of the court. The way they propose to do it is to just start adding justices, okay, every 2 years. And then as the old ones either retire or die or, you know, whatever, they would move back to being just the nine over time. It would almost certainly take a constitutional amendment to make this happen. So, and it's not going to go anywhere in the Republican Congress anyway. But just as an FYI, Democrats have definitely started down this road, at least with the filing of the bill, to make this proposal happen so that you would have term-limited Supreme Court justices. The fight over the road by the Flamingo House in Santa Rosa County. I'll tell you that coming up next. Local talk.